Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, day 8 of our 30 issues in 30 days election series, day 3 of New York City Development Week. We're using your suggestions this week and next week to help us produce segments on development in New York this week as an issue in the mayoral race, and in New Jersey next week, relevant to the governor's race. So keep them coming. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see a link to our 30 Issues Development Wiki. Today, one of the most controversial development projects in New York, Atlantic Yards.
The Atlantic Yards is a project that we really need. It will be great for the city. It'll be great for Brooklyn.
The AY is a project that we really need, says Michael Bloomberg. Bill Thompson?
The attraction of Atlantic Yards, at least for me, was the affordable units, which were substantial, as well as the community benefits agreement.
Bill Thompson, Democratic mayoral candidate, on September 1st, answering a question from the Courier Life, Stephen Witt, in a community newspaper roundtable. We'll get the latest on the status of that project now with WNYC's development reporter Matthew Sherman and talk about where the candidates actually stand now on the project and if the future of Atlantic Yards depends on who's mayor anyway. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good. And where do things stand now on Atlantic Yards?
Things have changed so much, Brian, in the last 5 months. We have a new architect. We have a new owner for the Nets. We have potentially a new size for the entire build-out of the Atlantic Yards project. Some fine print shows that Ratner won't need to build the whole thing out as once proposed. We have a new deal with the MTA. But Bruce Ratner, Mayor Bloomberg, other supporters say everything is on track. The project is closer to getting in the ground than ever, and that once this a pesky matter of a lawsuit that's going to come before the state highest court in October passes by, they'll be able to finance it.
And that's on eminent domain, that lawsuit, and that was part of Monday's discussion in this series. But where does Bill Thompson stand? We heard him in that clip say that he's for it. The attraction of, to use his own words, the attraction of Atlantic Yards for me was the affordable units, which were substantial, as well as the community benefits agreement. Define a community benefits agreement.
The community benefits agreement is generally an agreement between some community groups and a developer. It's supposed to be legally binding. It's supposed to have the developer promise certain benefits, affordable housing, a certain number of jobs to community residents, sometimes cash payments, sometimes park improvements, that sort of thing. And there was one hashed out between a few community groups in the Brooklyn area and Forrest C. Ratner in 2005. Some people say it's not a real community benefits agreement. It wasn't a whole inclusive process and that sort of thing. But that one does lay out that there will be, for example, 2,250 affordable rent-stabilized apartments, for example, and also sets up a fairly complicated training system for community residents to get union jobs on the construction site.
And listeners, we're going to open the phones on this, not to have the whole Atlantic Yards debate over again, but for you to tell us, if you're on one side or another of this issue, whether it is an issue in the mayoral race for you. Is Bill Thompson going to do anything different than Michael Bloomberg? Maybe Reverend Billy will, but assuming he's not going to get elected, Bill Thompson versus Michael Bloomberg on Atlantic Yards, does it matter to you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, whether you're for it or against it. And, you know, contributors to our 30 Issues Wiki pointed us to a contradiction they see in what Thompson says about his own position. He says he has come late to supporting Atlantic Yards. And here's that tiny four-second clip where he's speaking with Stephen Witt from the Courier Life newspaper.
I didn't sign on. I supported Atlantic Yards, but I didn't do it early. I did it late.
did it late. But several people writing on our 30 Issues Wiki pointed us to the fact that Bill Thompson has always been a supporter of the Atlantic Yards, that he said something or wrote something very early on in the process. And we asked you to try to document that.
Right. What happened was in the summer of 2005 when the MTA solicited proposals, wink, wink, for the 8.5-acre Vanderbilt Yards, which is where part of the Atlantic Yards project is going to be built. Thompson and two dozen other public officials gave letters of support for the Ratner proposal.
Right at the beginning of the plan's launch.
Well, you know, at that point, though, I think what I haven't spoken to the Thompson campaign about this. I think what Thompson was saying when he said that I didn't do it early, I did it late because I thought there were valuable parts is how the quote goes on. And I think at that point, even he's saying 2005 was sort of late. And that's in contrast to someone like Marty Markowitz or Mayor Bloomberg, who came out in late 2003 when the project was first announced, before you really knew the contours of the affordable housing program, before you had a community benefits agreement in place. So in that sense, I guess Thompson does have a point in saying he came late. But it's not as if just in the past couple of years he got on board.
So Mayor Bloomberg has always been supportive of Atlantic Yards, but funny enough, he visited with the community newspaper group in Brooklyn in late August, and he wouldn't let them tape the interview, but he said, was quoted as saying in relation to Atlantic Yards that he was, quote, violently opposed to community benefits agreements, a small group of people to feather their own nests, extort money from the developer. That's just not good government. So here's a contrast, because we just heard Controller Thompson say that the community benefits agreement is one of the main reasons that he's supporting the project, and that he says that community benefits agreements are not in some narrow interest. They're in the larger public interest, a lot of affordable housing included in the plan, et cetera, that might otherwise only benefit the developer. So this is a big difference between the two candidates, yes?
True, although there too is a bit of a puzzle why Bloomberg says that he's against community benefits agreements. Maybe he has become that way, but he was there, he was present when the community benefits agreement for Atlantic Yards was signed and sealed with a famous kiss between Bertha Lewis and Bruce Ratner, Bertha Lewis being the head of Acorn New York at the time.
And now, the Working Families Party.
And now head of National Acorn. Right. But he has seen a number of these CBA-type things take place under his watch. The city's never been a party to them, and maybe he has soured on this. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, there was even a CBA of sorts with Coney Island that he more or less blessed because that was what was important to get the Coney Island rezoning passed.
Let me play a clip from that Thompson interview where he goes on to talk about how he thinks community benefits agreements should be instituted more formally for all developments.
I'm not against a community benefits agreement at all. I've supported them in a number of places. I definitely support it if you look at the Kingsbridge Armory and the discussion there right now with the borough president and the developer. I support, you know, those discussions. However, we should have, you know, a blueprint. It almost should be part of the approval process.
So this is a real difference. Bloomberg is on record saying he hates community benefits agreements, and Thompson wants them worked into the approval process of development on an as-usual basis. Here's Mayor Bloomberg in August, and this gives you a sense of his attitude about community opposition.
Atlantic Yards are going to go ahead, but not as great for this city as it would have been had we not gone through all of this craziness. It's just a time trying to hold up developers not something that is part of the legislative purview.
So again, a difference between Bloomberg and Thompson, at least on this notion of community benefits agreements. Daniel in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel. Is this Daniel Goldstein?
Yes. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Daniel. So Daniel Goldstein, a leading opponent of the Atlantic Yards project. Do you see a difference between Bloomberg and Thompson? They both seem to support it, and the community benefits agreement is already signed. So is there any functional difference?
No, I don't see a big difference between the two candidates. As far as the community benefits agreement, I mean, Matt did a pretty good job of explaining the problems with this one. I think most experts on CBAs would say that this is not a legitimate one. But I do think that Controller Thompson has a big bat with which to bash Mayor Bloomberg over the head with, being Atlantic Yards, as it is really a poster child with all of all that the mayor has done wrong when it comes to mega development. I mean, he says the opposition has held up the project, but he and the state have tried to ram a huge project down the throat of New Yorkers without any legislative involvement. And that's why you have these battles. And I think there are so many financial problems with the project that it's a mistake for Thompson to not use it and go on the attack with it as a poster child for other projects as well.
I think that's an interesting point. One thing to bring up and to remind everybody is Freddie Ferrer's campaign 4 years ago. He tried very late in the game to come out strongly against Atlantic Yards, and I think brought up some of those points. He was very quickly denounced by Reverend Al Sharpton, a supporter of his, as well as many others. I think it's a very hard thing. Bruce Ratner, the developer, has really woven such a web of support behind this project that it's very hard for anyone to come out against it. And what you see here with Thompson is him trying to thread the needle in a way and saying, I have concerns about this project, but I'm for the affordable housing, I'm for the community benefits agreement. But he doesn't really have a strategy in the same way that we see like State Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries or Jim Brennan coming out with some sort of strategy. It may not be a realistic one, but some attempt to try to advance the cause of affordable housing, get those units built early, for example, ahead of the time of the arena.
You're saying Thompson doesn't have a strategy.
That's right.
Now, so, Thompson is going to be a guest tomorrow on our show in this series to talk specifically about his affordable housing plan, so we'll see what he has to say about that.
Excellent. I look forward to
that. And we'll see if he does have a strategy or not tomorrow at this time. But Michael in Brooklyn Heights may be getting more confused by this than clarified with respect to Bill Thompson. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, I think as Daniel Goldstein was saying, Thompson could help himself terrifically if he came out and opposed Atlantic Yards. His rhetoric on mega development and Atlantic Yards is very strange. It's confused. It's self-contradictory. Thompson, like Avella, spoke harshly in both mayoral debates criticizing Bloomberg's failed mega developments. In fact, in the second, he was asked to list the three top failures of the Bloomberg administration, and he cited the failed mega developments. In the first debate, he grouped Atlantic Yards and the West Side Stadium in a similar criticism. He said, whether it's the stadium on the West Side, whether it's Hudson Yards, whether it's places like Willets Point or Atlantic Yards, these projects haven't moved forward. Now, he criticized the Yankee Stadium deal, the Nets Arena, that's the only part of Atlantic Yards actually being pushed forward at the moment, with its proposed $220 million net loss for the city is essentially a rerun of the problems with Yankee Stadium.
All right. And again, we'll try to clear some of that up when Bill Thompson is here tomorrow. Now, both callers and our guest as we talk about Atlantic Yards and as an issue in the mayoral race is WNYC development correspondent Matthew Sherman. Both callers mentioned financial problems with Atlantic Yards as it exists now. And the city's independent budget office reported earlier this month that over a 30-year period, in their estimation, and their estimation is changing with the economy, over a 30-year period, the arena would cost the city nearly $40 million more in spending under current budget plans than it will generate in tax revenues. For the state, however, the arena would have a net benefit of $25 million in tax revenues, and the MTA would benefit also about $6 million in new tax revenues over that period of time. So good for the state and not so good for the city. Here's Mayor Bloomberg's reaction to that.
I don't know what the IBO studies would have shown back when they tried to establish the value of Central Park or Prospect Park or anything else. I mean, these things, these are the kinds of projects you have to do, and because without that, we don't have a future, and we're going to get this one done.
So Mayor Bloomberg is suggesting that the IBO, the Independent Budget Office assessment, is really not so fair and doesn't take into consideration all the other benefits outside of direct tax revenues versus costs. Yes?
Basically, the funny thing is that he applauded the IBO study when it came out 4 years ago, showing that there was a slight positive net gain for the city in terms of revenues. And the problem, the specific problem Bloomberg zeroes in on is that the IBO only looked at the costs of the arena and the benefits of the arena versus the cost of the whole 22-acre project. And there were a lot of reasons why they did that. And there were a lot of estimates, frankly, as to how much this thing is really going to cost the city. So it's all pretty murky there. It is interesting, though, you know, sure, the IBO seems to suggest that it's a net loss for the city. But Mayor Bloomberg is really the last guy standing here. Of all those politicians who lined up behind this thing in 2003, everyone else has faded from public view. George Pataki, Charles Gargano, even Peter Calico, for example, Dan Doctoroff's no longer around, and yet Bloomberg has stayed with this project, and Schumer, I should say, as well, faithful to this project, become really its most vocal and visible supporter over the years.
And so on the fiscal implications for the city, what about Comptroller Thompson? He is the controller of the city of New York, whose job is to audit books and assess fiscal impact alongside the Independent Budget Office.
Exactly.
Did he have a reaction to this IBO assessment?
I didn't see one. And it brings up a good point, which is that, you know, more than anything, I don't think Thompson really has taken much of a position on Atlantic Yards. He was in the position or is in the position as controller to look at the expenditures the city has made on the project so far, which have been substantial, somewhere $50 million to $100 million. And he could have looked at, for example, how that was spent and you know, what good that is producing. And he hasn't.
Last thing, as one of our Wiki contributors on our 30 Issues Development Wiki pointed out, the timing of the deal to sell the Nets to Russian billionaire Mikhail Prokhorov, he'll have an 80% stake in the Nets team and a 45% interest in the arena. The timing, writes this listener, is very interesting. It was announced just a few days after the project gained final state approval on September 17th.
It's true. You have to wonder, in 2003, if a Russian owned 80% of the team, 45% of the arena, would this project have gotten the support that it did? Would people be able to point and say, here is this man, Bruce Ratner, who has done good things for Brooklyn in the past, and Metrotech was the example that they used for that, a business development downtown. And that's why we should support this in the future. It certainly came at the very end of this whole revision that took place over the summer.
Matthew Sherman, WNYC development correspondent, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
And in just a minute, we will meet a city council candidate running on the Working Families Party line, challenging the Democrat in Brooklyn. The Democrat supports Atlantic Yards, and the Working Families candidate is against it. Strange bedfellows here because, as Matthew mentioned, Bertha Lewis, head of the Working Families Party, supports it as Acorn head. They had the community benefits agreement on housing, but might oppose it as head of the Working Families Party. So we will pick apart some of those politics with Mark Winston Griffith challenging Al Vann, a legendary Brooklyn politician, now in a race for November. Coming up in a minute.